We're looking at Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. God's glory alone. God's glory alone. You know, after the Protestant Reformation, in the early 1500s, 1600s, they were saying, something's wrong here. We got to change things up because the church is wandering away from the scriptures. It's using other authorities. We need to get back to the Bible. So what they did was they formed the Protestant Reformation, which the Baptist Church and many other good churches came from. People seeking to give glory to God alone. And part of what they strive to do, we summarize as the five solas. Sola means alone. Alone. Five solas start with, to God alone be the glory. Second one, we are saved by grace alone. Third, through faith alone. Fourth, in Christ alone. Fifth, the Bible alone has the unique authority to teach us these things. And some of you right now, maybe you're saying, wait a minute, the Bible alone? Why would the Bible alone be the unique authority? Guess what? It's the author, God, who wrote it. So if he wrote it, he's going to know more than any other man. That's why we need it. But we're talking today about God's glory. To God's glory alone. You know, it's natural to proclaim God's glory. It's natural to proclaim it. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. It's saying, look around you. All this is proclaiming God's glory. And as science looks at it, it says, look at what we have here. We have the beauty, the diversity, the complexity. There's something about this that's more powerful than we can possibly imagine. That it can't be something that just fell together. There had to be order. There had to be reason. And people, we know the author. But other scientists that are out there are baffled by it. We know the answer. God has made it. He has brought it all together. It is his handiwork. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Calling the mighty ones, that would be the angels, calling all of us to recognize who God is. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. God wants that glory. It's natural. We're made by him. He wants us to do that. It's natural to give glory to God. Why? Because it's who he is. He is glory. Now, some people might just look at that and flippantly say, well, God seems kind of needy. Hey, listen, he's calling for glory. Maybe he's not sure of himself. No, it's the extreme opposite of that. God is absolute glory. He deserves all glory and praise because that's who he is. He does it because he calls for it because that's who he is. You know, we were made to experience God's glory. We were made for that. Glory carries with it the weight of weight, substance, significance, and burden. God is this. God is all of that. And we, as his creations, we feel it. God, what did he do in the Garden of Eden? He made us to walk with glory, with him. He made us to be there. People want to experience it, but sometimes we get afraid because we can't understand it, or we're frightened by the capability of it. Exodus chapter 9, Exodus 20, verse 19. In Exodus 20, verse 19, this is a time when Moses is there, and he's just given the Ten Commandments, and the people are expecting to see the glory of God. They themselves are going to see the glory of God. And this is their response to that. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let us not speak, or let not God speak with us, lest we die." They were afraid. And because of that, because of our inhibitions, because we're not willing to be close with God, we lack that which we truly want, to see the glory of God. So God told them to make a tent, and he would come to there to meet with them, that they could go there and worship. But we're also called to be glory reflectors. Some of us get confused. We think we're glory manufacturers, and we must think that because that's what we do in our daily lives. The problem is, we find it in Romans chapter 3 and 23. What does it tell us? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin has separated us from God. We can't see it. We find this terrible thing. You know, there's a word in the English language, awful. And when you hear the word awful, we think, oh no, something that's terrible. No. It means to have awe and fullness of it. It is something to be, isn't something to be frightened of. Rather, it's something to draw near because it is something that is great. We have all sinned, though, and that's holding us back. We don't want to face God because we're afraid of him. But we still have this hunger. In our hunger to experience glory, we manufacture it ourselves. We do. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. We see a good example of that. Here they are. They've come to build the Tower of Babel. They've come to build it. And what does it say at that time? Because it's the people after the flood. They've come together and they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build ourselves. You notice they're trusting in themselves. And the second you start to trust in yourself, that's when everything goes wrong. And it did for them. We try to manufacture glory ourselves. It's like the commander who's new at the camp and he's in charge of the whole camp, right? Of his army camp. And in comes this private, and he wants to impress him. So he picks up the phone, right? And he picks up the phone and says, "Yes, General Brown, yes, sir, we are here, and we are going to take care of your what you've asked us to do. I'll report back to you directly. I have your commands right here written down. Don't worry, sir, we will take care of it." And then he hangs up. And then he looks at the private. And he says, "What is it, private? Why are you here?" Looking all important, the private's got this baffled look on his face. Commander says, "Why? What's going on? Tell me, speak up." And the private says, "Well, sir, I'm here to hook up the phone." We all want to look important. We want to look that we have authority or power. We want the glory unto ourselves. But the fact is, we're not for glory. We're like the moon. The sun shines and gives its glory. The moon reflects it. That's what we're to be like. That's what Moses was like. He went to the face of God, and as God spoke to him, as one speaks face to face, the light so shone upon him, the glory of God, that he glowed. It wasn't his own glory, it was God's glory. He could never glow on his own. Rather, God's glory lightens him up, and he goes down. You know, when you seek glory, you want to tell people about it. You want it to be known. It's like men, when you married men, right? When you saw your wife, did you tell her how beautiful she was when you met her? Did you tell her? Why? Because she was beautiful. And you wanted to tell her. What about God? And all that he's done, have you come before him and honestly poured yourself out to him and thanked him for all that he is and glorified his name and proclaimed it because he is the one who created and he sustains us? Have you given him the glory for that and for the things that he's done in your lives? Glory, God's glory is his goodness. As we look in the scriptures this morning, as we heard read this morning, and we're looking at Exodus chapter 33 in verses 18 and 19. Actually, I'll go back and start at verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. A man who came to God and wanted to be with God. God knows his name. And listen to verse 18 and 19. And he said, and this is Moses, he said, please show me your glory. Now, prior to this, Moses had a situation where God said, go ahead, your people, you take your people and go. I will not go with you. And Moses stops and says right there, God, if you will not go with us, I will not leave this place. I will stay here. And you have to picture this place, right? It's in the middle of a desert. It's the middle of nothingness. God, if you won't go with me, I'm not going to go from here. I'm not taking your people. We're not traveling another foot, God, without you. God loved that. Why? Because Moses was leaning on God. Moses was calling out for God to be with him. Now, this man who is so bold as to ask God to come with them after they had done so many wrong things, the people of Israel, they had done so many evil things, and he has the nerve to call on God and to ask God to come with him, to come with their people. He pleaded with them, with God. And guess what? God says yes. Now, this situation, you got to realize the nerve of Moses. What does he do? He comes and says, right here, he says in verse 19 or 18, please show me your glory. The very nerve of this guy to ask after all the things that they've gone through. He should be just glad. He should be just happy and joyful that God is continuing with them on their journey now. But notice, he hungers for the presence of God. That's what it's all about. He's hungering for the presence of God. He's calling out and he says, please show me your glory. And God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God's glory. You know, some think of glory as something like fame or illumination. Right? They think of it that way. But when you look at it as fame, it falls apart because what is it? It's people trying to get ahead of one another. It's people with pride trying to be the greatest. It can't be. Glory can't be that. That's pride. And people whose idea that glory is illumination, there's a problem with that. Women, how many men do you know that are light bulbs? Any? No? There's no one really bright, like maybe we should put our sunglasses on when you go home and you see your husband walks in the door and you say, whoa, look at that. No? Well, guess what? Glory isn't illumination. It's very wondrous, but it belongs to God alone. Genesis 1, verse 1. There's something that you need to see. God's glory is his goodness, but before I get there, I just want to repeat this here. When Moses asks in 33:18 of Exodus, he says, please show me your glory. In 19, God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. What is it saying there that's remarkable? It's saying there that God's glory is his goodness. It's equating the two together. God's glory God's goodness. Isn't that something? In other words, what he's been doing in your lives, glory. That's why he deserves it back, because he's been doing it. The glory of God in Genesis chapter 1, right? 6 times God says, and it is good, when he creates, when he makes things. His acts of goodness as he pours over his creation and makes it into something that is wondrous. He pours over it 6 times, and then he says, it was very good. God, it's his loving acts, his glory is seen in his loving acts. But there's something else even better for us, because we fell. Romans 3:23 told us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then in John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus comes to show God's glory. We beheld him, the glory of God, the only one who could do it, that glory given. And how wondrous it is. But it didn't stop there, because Jesus comes with his glory to reveal God. And he does these wondrous acts of healing, of raising the dead. He does all these wondrous things, right? And you think, wow, that is glory. Amen. I'm excited about that. But when you look at it, also look at John chapter 17. John 17, verse 20 to 22. Because in there, this is Jesus' moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying for his people, the disciples. He's praying for his people who follow him. And he says here, also, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He's talking about sharing the glory. God the Father and Jesus close, but also us being close to God because of what Jesus has done. Seeing that wholeness restored, that we could see the glory of God once again, and we could proclaim it. The glory of God. When you see glory, you want glory. When you see something that's beautiful, you want to tell them that they're beautiful. When you see something that's great, you want to just get excited and tell others about that greatness. But we were meant to share in God's glory. That's been God's plan all along. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. It tells us, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Covers is the word that we see, and it fills the land. It fills. It's meant to fill those empty spaces. That's what God is going to do. That knowledge of glory is going to shine everywhere. That's what God wants to do. He wants it to cover the earth. They call that, when you use the word cover, it's Shekinah. Shekinah. And the glory. You have this wonderful process, the Shekinah glory of God coming down from heaven onto earth, that it would fill all the earth. God wants that. He wants us. It's available to us. But you've got to call out. You've got to get rid of what stands between you and God. Because we were made to please God. You remember the story of the servants who went out and did what their master told them to do. Matthew 25 and 23 talks about that. It talks about it because the servant that did well, what did he hear? He heard, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." How many of us want to truly hear that when we stand in the presence of God? Wouldn't you love that? You're standing in the glory of God and you're hearing, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Doesn't that lift you up? Doesn't that give you encouragement and strength? Don't you want to get excited about that? Paul was clear in Galatians 1 and 10 when he talked about he didn't seek to please men, but to please God. To God be the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us a challenge. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. First Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Where we read there, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. To God alone be the glory." It challenges our lives. It makes us ask, what is it we're doing today? How is it that we can change what we're doing that it would be glorifying to our Heavenly Father? Glorifying to God. It challenges us and calls us, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, that your words would be sweet in the Father's presence, because every word you speak is heard in heaven. It's spoken in heaven because it's heard there. Every word, everything that we do, and we say, "But God, I'm trying." And guess what? God loves that. God wants you to keep on going. He wants you in the midst of struggle to keep seeking His glory. Why? Because that is the place where you're going to find strength. That's where you're going to find the encouragement. I see it. I want it. God, help me to get closer each day. And so our walk changes. Our walk may have been kind of staggering at first. Our walk spiritually might have been something where we stumbled. But our walk as we seek the face of God changes because we're anticipating the glory of God. We're excited. We want to hear, "God, say those words to me. Well done. God, I'm going towards you. God, I want to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory." What do you put at the end of your letters, at the end of your texts, at the end of your emails? Is it "To God be the glory"? Do you put initials like Johann did because he wanted people to know who gets the glory? Some people consider him to be one of the greatest musicians of all time. He did many great things, but he didn't want himself to be recognized as being great. Rather, he put those little initials there so the people would know to where the glory should go. Because it was God who blessed them and kept them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much for your glory, your honor. Lord, we thank you that our feeble attempts at coming to you at times may be difficult. But Lord, we honor you. We praise your name. We give you what we have. And Lord, we just ask that this day you would help us to continue to seek that glory, to see that vision of your beauty, Lord, that we might draw nearer and nearer to it, that one day we would hear your blessed words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen.